For whatever reason, this year I have found myself listening a little more closely to some of the secular songs of the Christmas season. And I've been struck by how many of these songs are accented by a poignant longing, especially the longing for home. One of the more moving songs, especially in the light of the many military personnel in service abroad right now, is "I'll Be Home for Christmas." As you may remember, it was written during World War II when many soldiers would not be home for Christmas, which the song itself acknowledges in its final line, "I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." And another song from that same era is "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas," which also expresses a kind of a longing that pulses at the heart of this season. Indeed, it's expressing a longing for a place, for a time that's now gone, but that is still home to us, at least in our dreams. In both these songs of Christmas, longing, the words home and dream somehow become paired, as if they're constructed of the very same stuff. Now, whether home refers to the place that we'll go to following the service today, or the place that is now long gone, or the place that never really existed, perhaps except in our dreams, I'm wondering this morning. What is this home that somehow tugs at our heartstrings, yours and mine? Barbara Brown Taylor once observed that home is a place that comforts and enfolds, a place where we know where everything is and how we fit in with it all, a place, she says, with kind of tongue-in-cheek, where the old chair somehow knows exactly how to conform to our quirky bottoms. A place where we can seek refuge from the world and are refreshed to face the world all over again. She says it's where those we love gather and where they gather us in their love. It's a place where you don't have to explain everything or perhaps anything. It's a place where you can be yourself, for better or for worse. And she says, to be sure, it is both. I'm not sure how many of us here have found an actual place like that, because in truth, not all the places that we call home look very much like that at all. But I suspect that we all have a home like that in the dreams we dream, in the deepest of nights, in the brightest of days. And it's the home we sing when we're singing of home. Within the poignancy of such longing, I think that there's a nostalgic feeling for the past, as well as a yearning for what we have yet to experience. I think the late Spalding Gray was saying more than he intended when he defined nostalgia as the longing for things that never happened. His observation, I suppose, was intended as a kind of cynical commentary on the many ways that we tend to glorify the past, making things out to be a whole lot more than they ever were. But in another way, he may not have intended. Gray may have been right, because what we take to be nostalgia has elements of longing for something we have yet to experience. Our scripture readings this morning that Dawn read contain allusions to such yearning. In Israel's yearning to taste freedom from oppression, Isaiah is speaking of the sign of Jerusalem, who will be as a young bride given a brand new name and will be respected among all nations. And then in Galatians, Paul talks about Jesus coming in the fullness of time, God's own Son, through whom we all become heirs of God's covenant. In the light of such readings, as well as the sentiments that are expressed in some of the secular songs of the season, perhaps that's why our Christmas celebrations often seem incomplete. Someone seems to be missing, or at least there are pieces of our lives that seem to be missing. And so it is that we dream of home or long to return to a place and time when seemingly no one was missing, when seemingly everything was complete, when there was a wholeness and peace that we knew deep inside. Frederick Buechner has observed that what we long for is not merely a Christmas from our past, at least not ultimately. Rather, we long to have our past, present, and future gathered up into a harmony that is somehow not achieved in the days of our lives. What we desire, he says, is not merely to be with our families, but to be united with them in a way that's not possible even when they're present. We're homesick, he says, not for some home of our past, but for a home that we've perhaps never really seen and cannot readily imagine, a home that even our dreams cannot fully trace. Allow me to be a bit personal at this point. Christmas is a time of the year when I've always felt a longing for something more. From the earliest Christmases that I can remember, back in the early 1950s, through this year, there are many Christmases that I can recall that brought this sense of longing and yearning. Not for missing gifts or presents on some wish list, nor for certain missing experiences or feelings, nor even for some dramatic divine visitation that would somehow assure me of God's loving nearness amidst all the pushes and pulls of my life. Even when the members of my family were all alive and all together, when our home was filled with food for both body and soul, with delicious goodies and beautiful decorations and good cheer in abundance, even then, I've known a longing for something more, something deeper. And I wonder if you too have ever experienced it. Through the years, our daughter, Joanna, has shared gifts of her own and in terms of her own making. She has shared them with both Kathy and me, which have always touched us in rather profound ways, and also has inspired her sisters to create similar gifts of their own to one another. I can remember one year that Joanna made me a very special scrapbook that contained poignant memories and pictures of our dog Buddy, who had died the previous summer. And I was a puddle of tears. Another year, she made a shadow box collage of pictures and memorabilia of Kathy's father, who was a World War II veteran, a captain in the Army. And another year, she did the same for me, including a railroading cap like my dad always loved to wear, along with the words of, "Oh, what a beautiful morning," which he used to whistle every day on the way home from the church he served as pastor in Punxsutawney. And when I opened her gift this year, I discovered that, well, it wasn't a gift that she had made. Rather, it was something that she, with some help from Kathy, had remembered from my stories about growing up and had somehow found. Now, I'm going to try to show you what that was. What I was doing was peeling away a lot of bubble wrap and a lot of tissue paper. I finally worked my way down. Put this back in there. And there it was. Cradled in my hands, this ruby flash antique glass cup. Now you may not think that it meant much, but it did, because it was is an exact duplicate of our family's tiny precious glass cup, which we called in our family our sickie cup. You may know what that means. Tiny cup, which was used whenever we had a fever, were confined to bed, could only drink a few sips of ginger ale or diluted Coke syrup from our sickie cup. And somehow, holding that cup in my hand amidst all my remembering and tearing up, I felt that the living room was suddenly filled with all those persons and relatives and pets and even Christmas trees and decorations from all my years past. Wondrously, there were many different impressions and feelings throughout the course of my life that came together in ways that were never really possible in any real Christmas within my own experience. Indeed, in such a moment, I felt that there was something present that was more than mere nostalgia, and much deeper too. I've come to feel that what we long for is not merely a Christmas from our past, but a gathering up of all of our past days and present experiences and yet to be happenings in a wondrous whole that we've never known before. And somehow, what I suspect many of us yearn for is not just to be with those we love at Christmas time, but as Buechner expressed, to be united with them in a way that's not possible even when they were present. It's to be together in ways that are not possible in this life, and we can barely approach in our dreams. What we long for is to have all the broken pieces and the scattered shards of our lives brought together in ways that we're unable to do right now. But it's something more, a whole lot more. Because it's a yearning for a special kind of homecoming, not just to be at home with family and friends and ourselves, but to find our place at home in the presence of the Lord our God, the one the psalmist calls our dwelling place in all generations. Indeed, it was that longing that nudged awake those sleepy shepherds from their surrounding darkness as they were keeping watch over their sheep to run across the muddy and frozen fields to seek the Christ child. And it was that desire and yearning that piqued the curiosity and hearts of the Magi from the east as they followed the star. And in some way or another, it is that same yearning, perhaps better described as that sense of being homesick for God, that draws us together week after week, year after year, to draw near a manger and a cross. During the Second World War, a soldier was on duty on Christmas morning. Before the war, it had been his custom to go to church every Christmas morning with his family, but now performing service in the outlying districts of London, that was impossible. And so he gathered up some of his soldier buddies, and as dawn was breaking, he and they walked down the road that led to the city. But soon they came upon an old gray stone building over whose main door were carved the words, Queen Anne's Orphanage. but I decided to knock and see what kind of celebration might be taking place inside. In response to their knock, a matron came and explained that the children there were orphans whose parents had been killed in one of the many bombings that had taken place in London. Well, the soldiers went inside just as the children were tumbling out of bed. There was no Christmas tree in the corner. There were no presents, no decorations, no colored lights, nor tinsel. And so the soldiers began to move around the room, wishing the children a Merry Christmas and some of those others a Happy Christmas, and giving them whatever gifts they had in their pockets. Chewing gum, chocolate bars, pack of lifesavers, a pencil, a compass, a good luck charm. And the soldier who had gotten his buddies together noticed a little fellow all by himself, sitting alone in one of the corners of the large room, a little boy that looked an awful lot like his nephew back home. And he slowly approached him, and he said, and you, little guy, what would you like for Christmas? What would you like me to give you? And the little boy looked up and replied, would you just hold me, sir? Would you just hold me? And the soldier, with tears brimming in his eyes, picked up the little boy and held him gently in his arms, rocking him back and forth and hugging him tenderly and tightly in what was for them both a kind of heavenly embrace. Let us pray. Dear Lord, in our most tender needs, you have come to us and stooped low to hold us tightly and tenderly in your loving arms, and thereby we have known what it is to be home, to be cherished. Empower us, each one, to reach out with the same love, embracing others, so that together we may all know the deep meaning of our Christmas homecoming. In Jesus Christ. Amen.